Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. Time now to go out to our guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book, the football man from the Chicago Tribune, Brad Biggs. Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, really enjoyed your mock draft on ChicagoTribune.com. Really enjoyed the first go-around, and I know things will change. I know everything is fluid, and there's a lot of things that we don't know. But what we do led you to project the Bears with the 9th overall pick staying there and taking Georgia left tackle, Georgia offensive tackle. I guess we should restrict it to a side. Broderick Jones, how did you arrive at that projection?
Well, you know, it's hard to, first of all, it's hard to mock a trade down at number 9, right? You know, which could be a possibility, maybe, if the Bears have a cluster of players that they have similar grades on, and there's a team that's interested in moving up. You got to have somebody that wants to come buy the pick, right, for starters. But if they're left there at 9, in my mind, it's got to be an offensive tackle, a defensive lineman, or if they really love a cornerback that's there, maybe they go that direction. But I see those as pressing needs for this football team right now. And when you look at it, you say, okay, you've got a general manager with a background as an offensive lineman, an assistant general manager with a background as an offensive lineman, and you look at what they've done on the offensive line to this point, which wasn't a whole lot last year, right? Your biggest spend is on Riley Reiff a week before the start of training camp. You signed Lucas Patrick to a 2-year deal worth $8 million. You try to take a swing at Ryan Bates as a restricted free agent. And then what they've done this year is they've gone out and they've helped out Justin Fields a little bit with Nate Davis, the guard from the Tennessee Titans, and they've obviously gotten a wide receiver. If you are going to talk about seeing this process through with Justin Fields and building around him to give him the opportunity where you believe he can break through, I think you need to put your draft picks where your mouth is and do a little bit more to fortify the offensive line. So then the question becomes, okay, who fits? And it's got to be a guy that moves well. And that's a matter of people's opinion. Obviously, some folks thought maybe they should go after Orlando Brown in free agency, and polls was pretty clear. They didn't see him as an ideal scheme fit for them.
It is interesting. I mean, I've had Broderick Jones on my board as well, Brad. I didn't necessarily have him at number 9. What do you like about him over say, Paris Johnson. I see you have Peter Skoronski going to Tennessee at 11. What is it about Jones that has kind of taken the lead in your mind, Brad?
Well, I think, you know, Jones played at Georgia, so top-notch competition. He's young. He's big. He moves well. I think people feel like he's you're getting a guy who's going to start out and do well and has a lot of room to grow for improvement to become a really good player. And it will be really interesting for the Bears. You know, does Jalen Carter make it to 9? In my mock draft, he didn't get there, right? He came off the board at 6 to the Detroit Lions. But if he makes it to 9, then you've got a real interesting discussion for the Bears. Do you want to take him? Do you want to go with an offensive lineman? You know, what are the options? And so that's one of the things they'll be trying to figure out is, A, who do they like? And then, B, who do they think is going to be in that range at 9? And obviously you wouldn't rule out a trade up, right? That would be possible. Then I don't think they'd go back into the top 4 or anything. But if there was a guy they fell in love with and they didn't feel the price was prohibitive, maybe they go get that guy. There's been times when we've seen the Bears trade up and you looked at it and you said, well, boy, after a couple of years, why did they do that? And then there's one notable one where just a slight trade up in just about the same range years ago would have had them Aaron Donald. Okay, a guy that would have come in and been all world for the Chicago Bears. So a lot of intrigue. We've got a month to go, but you feel like they're going to get a pretty good player. And I think you're more comfortable after this trade with the Panthers because now they have what Poles talked about at the combine, which is some flexibility. You know, talking about flexibility. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, how flexible can you be? You've got one pick in the top 50. They trade the pick. Now the Bears own 4 of the top 64 picks. So I think there is flexibility for some movement. And, you know, they trade back, have even more picks. Maybe they trade back, and then they trade up. So all sorts of options and plenty of spots on the depth chart for them to get better.
Brad, I'm curious. I know you talk to as many people as anyone, and when I look at Broderick Jones, I was mildly surprised because I think there has been, if not a consensus, a belief that Paris Johnson Jr. would be a guy who might be the first tackle off the board. Peter Skoronski, with all of his experience, still a very highly rated prospect. And then, you know, depending on what draft board you're looking at, Broderick Jones, there are 3 offensive tackles that may be ranked in different ways depending on what scout is evaluating him, what executive is prioritizing. Are you finding that, or is there a consensus developing or emerging on behalf of Broderick Jones?
I haven't gotten a consensus yet, no. But I think you've got a situation where these guys are probably going to be drafted close to one another, right? Like, right. I don't see a huge gap between the first one being selected and the last one being selected. And then you've got some other guys that are going to be first-round picks as offensive linemen as well. You know, I don't think he's a fit for the Bears because he doesn't move real well. But my goodness, Darnell Wright, the right tackle from Tennessee, I mean, he's just enormous. And in a scheme that doesn't ask the lineman to move as much, he's a stardom from day one and feel pretty good about him anchoring that right side of your offensive line. So that it's a premium position, okay? And the Bears need help at it. You know, they haven't done heavy investment on the of the line yet, and that's where this draft is going to be central in my mind is drafting an offensive tackle and drafting multiple defensive linemen, drafting multiple edge rushers. You know, they need to attack that defensive line with some numbers in this draft. And not all of them are going to pan out. You know that. Or some of them are going to take some time to develop. You're going to have an unclear picture after the rookie season for a number of them. But you would hope that they hit a home run or two in there and you start feeling like, okay, they've got some players that they can really build that front seven around.
It sounds to me, Brad, like you're thinking the Bears, at least at number nine, will draft for need and not necessarily best player available. So do you rule out wild card possibilities like if Quentin Johnston is there, which he probably will be, or Bijan Robinson, the running back from Texas, could something like that happen where he does take the best player available, which might be a cornerback too, as you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, they can't take a running back at number. They just led the NFL in rushing. With Justin Fields,
yeah.
David Montgomery, and Khalil Herbert, they led the league in rushing by, I think there was a margin of about 300 yards between them and the Baltimore Ravens. So I would go ahead and discount the Bijan Robinson option. I don't see them taking a wide receiver. You know, they've talked about expecting a lot more from Chase Claypool this year, who they invested a ton in, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers are sitting there. Tickled pink with the 32nd pick in this draft as a result of that Chase Claypool trade. So I think they feel like their wide receiver unit will be much, much more productive. You know, you could talk about the best player available thing, but a lot of factors can creep into that. You know, there can be a level of bias, and I'm not saying there will be for the Bears, but this happens all over the place. And people will be pretty candid when they talk about it with you, where a team's grades will have some bias in it that reflects what their needs are, right? So if your need is a defensive tackle and it's a huge need, maybe, you know, subconsciously the grades the team ends up giving some prospects at that position are inflated a little bit simply because of the need. So I'm not saying they're going to do that here, but you look at free agency, you look at this roster, I don't know how they don't use this draft heavily fortifying the fronts on both sides of the ball. You know, you look at the expenditures they made in free agency, and some people are throwing their arms up saying, well, why do you go out and drop all this money on a couple linebackers when you have that defensive line in front of the group? And to me, the immediate response is, well, they're not done. This is part of a process. This is a giant puzzle. There are a couple pieces in it, a couple big pieces in it. Let's see what pieces they come up with for this puzzle via the draft to give you a clearer picture of the depth chart, the plan, and ideas for the future.
Those are great points, Brad. I think it's human nature to inflate the importance of, say, even an offensive tackle or defensive tackle when you know how badly your organization needs one of those. Not saying they're going to do that, but I understand the temptation, or maybe even the why they would maybe fall prey to that idea just because they need so bad. I want to talk to you about wide receivers, though, because this is the weird year, or the rare year, that the Bears go into the draft, and I think that it would raise some eyebrows in my mind if they went wide receiver, even if they traded down. You've got four going in the first round, but not one going until 20. I think the only way the Bears could get away with drafting one in the first round, and tell me if you disagree with this, is if it were Jaxon Smith-Njigba, somebody who has a connection with Justin Fields, and they use that to help convince them that he would be worth a first-round pick. What do you think?
I mean, I think you'd have to trade back a good distance. And do they really want to trade back from nine into the back half of the round? They just finished a season when they won three football games. You need to get a player out of this draft that you feel really good about, that you can plug in right away and it can help you. It wouldn't stun me if they took one in the second round, if there was a guy they liked a whole lot, just because They can't have enough targets for him, and they can't have enough good ones. And while they're better at wide receiver, it's not like they're great, right? Look at what the Detroit Lions have right now for Jared Goff. What would you rather have? That Jameson Williams could become elite quickly. And Amon St. Brown, I mean, they've got targets there that are productive, proven, big-time playmakers. So, they could go wide receiver, but in round one, I would struggle with that. Again, there's no need to complicate this. I mean, look at the depth chart, understand where they're at, understand that these guys realize to build a contender, you've got to be really good up front. Ian Cunningham, the assistant general manager, came from Philadelphia. Where's the strength of the Eagles? Yeah, Jalen Hurts was fantastic this past season. He was an MVP candidate. They were better than anyone in the league, probably on the offensive line, and deeper than anyone in the league on the defensive line, and maybe better. No secret to the success of the formula for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bears were terrible in the trenches this past season, and they haven't done enough yet this offseason to remedy that. So I think they are seeking solutions via the draft. They certainly should be.
Vigsy, back to the offensive line. I have not talked to you about this yet, but what do you think they're thinking up for the interior of the offensive line with Cody Whitehair, Nate Davis, Tevin Jenkins, and Lucas Patrick as well, for that matter? It feels like he's all of a sudden the forgotten man. How is that lining up? How does it all work?
I think they'd probably add another guy to the mix. I think they'd probably draft. I think they'd probably draft a center, and you take a look at it then. Yeah. I think, obviously, Cody Whitehair is under contract. He's played a ton of football for the Bears. He's probably on the backside of his career. Lucas Patrick struggled to stay on the field this past season. He was not good when he did play at guard. We barely saw him at center. It was like one quarter in that Monday night game at New England.
Come on back, so, Sam. We need you. Mustafer.
Yeah, Tevin Jenkins struggled to start and finish a football game, right?
Yeah.
So I think you feel like he's got some real upside. This is a critical year for Tevin. Year three of a guy in a four-year contract. You know, he can do a lot to shape the next 4, 5, 6 years of his career with what he puts on the field this season. But I could see them drafting an offensive tackle and going back to the O-line in the first 3, 4 rounds with a center and bringing another guy in there. So and then you sort it out from there. So how they're going to handle the interior of the offensive line, you know, they've talked about putting Whitehair back at center. He's played a lot there. I think he's been better when he's played at guard. He hasn't played center for this coaching staff to this point, but I think they need to add to that group before they worry about sorting out who's going to be where.
Last thing, Brad. So back to your mock draft on ChicagoTribune.com. Really interesting stuff. At 11, you have the Titans taking Peter Skoronski. He is the second tackle off your board. Paris Johnson goes a couple picks later, according to your mock. And you say about Peter Skoronski, there will be teams that are concerned about his arm length and et cetera and the measurables. But you say, why not try him at left tackle to start? And I think it makes a lot of sense to take that approach. I'm just wondering, are you finding teams that agree with that premise or are more reluctant just because of the measurables?
I think there's going to be teams that don't believe that the measurables meet the kind of the criteria they have for that position. But in talking to a couple guys with different teams, just their thought process on it, kind of the overwhelming thing I've gotten from these guys is, you know what? Put him where your greatest need is and see how he does there. So if your greatest need is at left tackle, put him there and let him prove what he can do there. If your greatest need is at left guard, well, plug him in right there and see what he does for you there. So, if, you know, the team that takes him, I think where he plays could be dependent on, you know, what else they have and how they feel about the rest of their offensive linemen. But, you know, we heard, we've heard similar stuff about different offensive linemen, and there's questions about the measurables and stuff. And, you know, Olin Krutz is a pretty smart guy, and one of the things he's always said to me is, you know, you go to the tape, right? You look at the tape, and there were questions about Rashawn Slater's ability to play left tackle in the National Football League when he came out of Northwestern because of measurables. And the Chargers put him there, and you know what? Well, he was hurt a lot this past season. When he's been on the field, he's been really good at left tackle. And I think Pat Fitzgerald told NFL guys, hey, he will play left tackle in the National Football League. Now, Slater and Skoronski are slightly different players. Peter's going to carve out his own path. I think he's going to have a heck of an NFL career. It'll be interesting to see where he starts, but it could be based, you know, largely or mostly on the needs that the team selecting him has at the time.
Great stuff, Brad. Really interesting mock draft. Thanks for your time.
Have a great day, guys.
Brad Biggs, football man from the Chicago Tribune. His mock draft on ChicagoTribune.com. The first one of several, but this is the first one, and very interesting stuff indeed, Mark. So when we come back, something that I saw and we both watched on television last night after the basketball, I think, is worth discussing. He's Mark Grody, in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
70 to the score.
That's terrible.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio. 670 to the score. Mark Grody in for Mully. That was Charles Barkley. Of course it was Charles Barkley.
Unmistakably.
Everybody understands what they hear when they get from Charles Barkley. You're going to get the truth. You're going to get authenticity. You're going to get candor. You're going to get everything. The round mound of rebound.
That's right.
I loved hearing that last night as well. So 60 Minutes did a nice story about a 15-minute segment on Charles Barkley. I love that they went back to the home that he grew up in. I love that they told the story about how his father left the family and how his Spanish teacher flunked him, yeah. and how he lived with those chips on his shoulder and the fuel that he found from those really life-changing disappointments. And so Charles Barkley is somebody that we look at as this opinionated, bombastic, even funny guy. But you know, when you find out where all that started, I think you develop a healthier respect for where he came from and how far he's come.
I did not realize essentially failed his senior year of high school, right? Because they literally showed him on 60 Minutes last night watching his peers graduate, like from a distance on a hill where they returned, of course, 60 Minutes, and let's return to the site of the crime. What are you feeling right now? And he was feeling something, and it wasn't good.
That was
good.
The place to be, though.
That was, no, it was very good.
In a story about Charles Barkley, that's the dateline you want.
No, that's absolutely right. And I didn't think I was going to learn anything new, and I did learn that. Always good to see Charles Barkley spitting in somebody's face as a 76er. Always good to see that. It's been a long time.
And now he does it, not literally, but figuratively.
Yeah.
And so fun to hear him, like when they're trying to explain to the casual sports fan, the viewing audience, who Charles Barkley is and why people are so triggered by him, hearing him talk about his relationship, his opinion of Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
He's very sensitive, great player. He's part of that generation who think he can't be criticized. He's never looked in the mirror and says, man, was that a fair criticism?
We're in agreement. Today's players are a little more sensitive to criticism than your
generation.
That
would be an understatement.
How many people sitting at home were like nodding their heads? Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Kevin Durant, supremely talented basketball player. But part of a generation that is feels like they're immune to criticism or don't know how to handle it in a way that makes you think that they are, or that you can come to any other conclusion that they are Charmin soft.
That's such a bad word to be called, though. Like, do you call somebody, oh, you're sensitive. That's such a, like, think about that. Have you ever been called sensitive? I have.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just like, just talking to people. Oh, why are you being,
oh my gosh.
Like, fights with girlfriend. Oh, you're being sensitive. Shut up! You know what I mean? Like, that is such a shot if you're called
sensitive. Texters and emailers, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, when you go back at somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is part of the Kevin Durant MO, too. He will engage people who criticize him, and maybe he creates that perception that he's sensitive because he's doing that. I don't know if that's the case. I think sometimes people are just so stunned that people like Kevin Durant or people will respond to criticism with defending themselves or in a way that makes you look at things differently. It comes off as a little defensive. It comes off as overly sensitive to some people.
Yeah, but there's not many guys. I mean, that's why he's being featured on 60 Minutes. There's not many guys like Charles Barkley who have he said he doesn't have an agenda. I had to think about that because everybody's got an agenda. But he kind of doesn't really have an agenda a lot of the time
in terms
of who he creates. I mean, there's a little agenda because he's pretty protective
have,
of the old days and that kind of stuff.
But let's be honest here. You're right. And he became this way based on his personality and the power of that. But why is he like that? He has a contract that affords him that luxury. He's good. He's secure.
Yeah.
He can say whatever he wants, Mark.
Well, it's my theory that he was the original hot take artist. Like, he is what was, like, derived. These other guys took it to a different level because his is genuine.
His is genuine. His is an opinion. His is insight based on his experience as a professional.
It doesn't come across as a hot take.
Or contrived.
But
argumentative, even.
But I do think that some of what we now see, Shannon Sharpe and those guys, like what we see now, is some of it is from the boldness of Charles. Now, it's been taken in the wrong direction.
I think that's the most outrageous thing you've ever said in the history of Chicago radio.
What?
Stop it.
What? Oh. I'm being serious there for a second.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
I'm sensitive.
That's
I'm sorry,
Dave. That's your point. You are a little sensitive.
Very sensitive, yeah.
But what Charles Barkley is, I think, a product of his own strong opinions, and he just basically has always been somebody who didn't want to leave you thinking what he was thinking. So he's going to say it.
Yeah.
Where I think other guys, the debate culture that we live in sports media, sometimes comes across as very rehearsed.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Now, a lot of it is disingenuous.
Contrived.
And it's been extremely successful formula, and people have made millions and millions of dollars doing it. But my whole point with that was, is that there's not many guys laying it out like Charles Barkley. So when somebody like Kevin Durant, one of the best basketball players in the world, is taking real criticism, he's kind of like, what the hell? This is like different, because who else is criticizing him?
That's
nobody, right?
Right?
I mean,
good point.
Maybe some of those hot takers are, but I'm talking about somebody like that with a pregame, you know, studio show platform.
Yep.
It would be like that level, or, you know, color commentator level. That would probably make a lot of players sensitive, getting ripped on.
Speaking of sensitivity, he also addressed alienating Michael Jordan based on Charles Barkley's opinion of Michael Jordan, the executive, which didn't go over very well with MJ.
And what I said, I think that he don't have enough people around him going to tell him no. And he got really offended, and we haven't spoken. But, John, I'm going to do my job, because I have zero credibility if I criticize other people in the same boat and not criticize my best friend.
Even if you have nothing to apologize for, you think of just picking up the phone and trying to repair this thing with Michael?
I got an ego too, John. You can't be great at something. Like, that doesn't get you right to be a jerk.
You think you'll resolve this eventually?
He got my number.
I love that.
Do you?
Yes. I mean, it's balls, man. It's like,
he didn't sound like he was going to be in any rush to try to repair a relationship that's clearly damaged.
That's the right stance. And the fact that he could still, like, talk freely
about it.
Is
it the right
stance? For Charles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's got, like, Jordan was probably, unless you're thinking he was out of line for saying that to Jordan.
No,
that he needs somebody to tell him.
I don't think he was out of line at all.
To sell him to say no.
I think it sounds like the version that he just described, Michael Jordan's being very sensitive.
Yeah.
Overly so. And,
right.
You know, that would be something. I don't know how much he has tried to repair over the years. I frankly don't think it's that important to Charles Barkley to have a relationship with Michael Jordan to still have opinions that resonate with the basketball fandom or the general sports community. Because, you know what? Charles Barkley, I'm not going to say his reach exceeds Michael Jordan's. I don't think you can say that about any athlete. But Charles Barkley has quite a reach in terms of his impact on the sports culture in America. He doesn't need Michael Jordan as his friend to be an effective communicator. It doesn't need to be important to him. So I think that why not try? Why not try to repair a relationship that is damaged to you? You have nothing to lose.
Yeah, I just think the ball is in Jordan's court. He's the one that was mad, so why does Barkley have to go crawling back to him for being honest and making a point? Like, if we really want to break down the point that he made, Jordan needed people to tell him no when he was a player, and luckily Phil Jackson was there to kind of do it, so he's right about that. And honestly, most people would have caved by now. Would have been like, either they wouldn't discuss the Jordan. Like, if somebody was in a fight with most people in that predicament, be like, you know what, that's in the past. That's between he and I. I don't really want to talk about that. He's happy to talk about it and say, here's what I said. Here's the problem. And guess what, MJ? If you want to make up and be cool,
you got
call
my number?
Me.
That's so cliche.
You got my number. No,
it's so cliche.
You just want to see a really friend. You think Barkley has to make, does he have to apologize to Jordan?
I don't think he has to. If it's important to him, I think you reach out based on, you know, time and place and situations. I don't think anybody benefits. And I know this sounds really, you know, maybe overly idealistic, but if I had somebody I cared about who I hadn't talked to in a long time and it mattered to me and I'm asked on national television, to what degree am I going to take it into my own hands to repair a relationship, I might want to come off a little bit more willing to repair it than that suggested. Mm-hmm. And if it's important to me, who wants to carry grudges around? My goodness. I mean, it's hard to do that. Sometimes it takes more energy to stay out of a relationship than it does to be in one.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just your
being
friend.
The fine line between love and hate. Is that what you're saying?
I guess that's what
David
I'm saying.
Hall?
Okay. If
tell
you want to
more.
Psychoanalyze what I'm saying.
I always want to psychoanalyze.
Can I tell you.
You
the other thing that bothers me about it?
Yeah.
Well, I got you here.
Yeah, I'm right here, man.
Put my feet up.
The show's over in a
okay,
few minutes.
Okay, but let me tell you this.
Yeah.
I have such respect for what Charles Barkley says on a regular basis and the job that he does and what he has become. Because I wasn't a huge Barkley fan as a player.
Right. Yeah, he was like a bully.
I really wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really.
Well, I looked at him as the enemy because, you know, he was with the Suns when the Bulls played them. And they're...
But what he's accomplished as a broadcaster, to me, is impressive and worthy of respect. Really is. I don't appreciate or like that 60 Minutes interview was very well done. It was very well done from a journalistic standpoint. It was very well done and executed from the choices they made. But you know what? If I'm looking at what Charles Barkley has made of himself, I don't care if he's talking to Michael Jordan. I really don't.
Right.
It always comes up. Everything about Charles Barkley, we have to include the, well, you know, he's him and MJ had that. They were friends, and now they're who's talking to who and who broke. I don't care, really. It has nothing to do with Charles Barkley, how effectively he communicates with that audience. It really doesn't.
But you know, while I got you here, can I throw something at you?
Yeah.
Like the even bigger
sure.
picture. When Jordan's what, 60 now?
Yeah.
Then he turns 60, right? Like when he gets like to be older, like 70 and hopefully 80, mm-hmm. do you think that there's a little more humility with Jordan? Do you think he we've seen stuff like that with Mike Ditka. Like as Ditka's gotten older, he's cool with people he used to not be cool, like Buddy Ryan and stuff like that. Like, do you think Jordan will get a little more gracious with his time and a little bit more real about stuff as he gets older?
We're talking about somebody who is a world-class philanthropist. So I don't want to project that or even assume that he's not like that now. Mm. I think that what we hear and what we see on The Last Dance, it creates an image that he is can be vindictive or he can hold a grudge and he can be competitive and all these things.
Yeah.
But I don't know that doesn't disqualify him from being – you know, generous and magnanimous and a great friend and
but
I don't know.
But all
that's
true.
Mark.
He's unapproachable though right now. He's been unapproachable since he retired the second time.
He's getting ready to reportedly, you know, cut ties with the Hornets. So that may be a phase of his life
to buy the Bulls, right?
Well, I said the White Sox. So I think the White Sox make more sense.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Oh,
that's a tease.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
We know Jordan could dig
in. But I'll wrap it up here.
Yeah.
So as people get to that stage of their life, at different stages of their life, they become more reflective because time is running out.
That's what
okay?
I mean. Yeah.
So let's hope so. I think everything's relative. I don't know to what degree that he will, but I think that, like everyone who gets older, they have a different perspective on life now than we did 10 years ago.
Right, right. And he could be the one that shares more or is grumpy old man who doesn't want to hear about anything.
Or sees that report on 60 Minutes from Charles Barkley and says, this is nonsense. I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to end this because it really makes no sense. I want more friends in my life, not fewer.
Or he'll never go on CBS again. That's the more likely.
He will buy the network and then shut it down.
It's like his Sports Illustrated
flip
days.
The switch.
Yeah. Yep.
He's never. Yeah.
Never. Never.
Ever. Again.
Allowed.
All right. We got to get out of here. We have to do transition. We have Dan and Layla. It's a Layla Monday.
Nice.
What a treat for everybody. They will be in here next. Grody's in for Mully. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.